At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, Tom Brady has made his debut on Fox. It was not overwhelmingly well-received, but it is, of course, his first game. Welcome back to the Sports Media Watch podcast. I'm John Lewis, joined as always by Drew Lerner. Please subscribe on the SMW podcast feed on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. So the story of the week is obviously Tom Brady and his debut. Let's be completely real here. It was not the most impressive debut there ever was. He did not sound like he had a great command. He was very tentative, clearly nervous at the outset, a very halting way of talking at the outset. It's a difficult one because obviously we're talking about a complete novice who's never done even a preseason game, but he's also being paid $38 million a year. And so the standard has to be a little bit higher than it would normally. His performance was not bad at all for a first-time analyst. But for the lead analyst who's getting to do the Super Bowl, displaced a perfectly good analyst in Greg Olson, and ultimately we're talking about $38 million a year, historic salary, it just was not at the level of quality that you would expect given. So that's kind of an issue. How are we going to evaluate Tom Brady's, you know, the quality of his work? How are we going to evaluate it? Because we're talking about a novice. We have to judge him by a normal standard for a novice. But we're also talking about someone who's being paid more than anyone by far to do this, who is going to do the Super Bowl, who has immediately occupied now the highest profile role that any analyst has in quite some time. They showed him entering the arena like he was a player, which, you know, ESPN did that for Stephen A. Smith, which was ridiculous. And it's not quite as ridiculous given Tom Brady actually played, but he's still not on the, you know, he's still not in the game. And then, you know, how often are they going to do this? Are they going to do this next week? Are they going to do this all season? And once they stop, what do you have? Right? Once they stop all the hype, what do you have? You just have an analyst who's not as good as the one you had before. So it's complicated because, again, for just entering the booth for the first time, it wasn't that bad. But for all of what Fox has created here, I don't know. I think ultimately it depends on how you judge, and Fox has created a circumstance where you have to judge a little bit more harshly than normal. Drew, I'll bring you in.
Yeah, no doubt, but let's not write Brady's story in the first week, right? He showed flashes of being a competent analyst. It was similar to my golf game almost, right? He couldn't put very many good shots together in a row, right? He had moments of insights that I thought were good, but it was mostly awkward. And, you know, to be really rich and compare myself to Tom Brady once again, it kind of reminded me of when I started podcasting with you, John, and honestly, still podcasting with you at times. Just overthinking what I want to say, thinking about every word and how I'm going to say it. That's kind of how it felt listening to Brady. You could tell he's being very careful with what he said. And I think that kind of got in the way of him just kind of watching the football game and letting it rip, you know, like saying what came to his mind. He clearly has opinions on what these players are doing on the field. It's just a matter of, can he translate those thoughts into, you know, a 10-second nugget that can go over a replay that the Fox booth gives him, right? Or the Fox production truck gives him. I think he'll get better because I think he'll shake some of the nerves off in the next few weeks. But like you said, there's still a long way to go until he reaches Greg Olsen level. But the good news is he's got, 18, 20 weeks to do it before the Super Bowl. I think there's plenty of time for him to get to a comparable level, even just this season.
Yeah, I mean, there is plenty of time. I don't think he can get to a comparable level to Greg Olsen this season. I mean, I don't. But I do think you can get him to where it's not weird that he would do a playoff game, right? And then you get to the Super Bowl, and the Super Bowl isn't really a playoff game at all. It's this big spectacle that, you know, an analyst has to do a really, really bad job to be noticeable on the Super Bowl, given everything else that's going on there. So Brady, to me, he has the time to get better. He will get better. Every single week, and I said this in my article, every single week he's going to be outclassed by another Fox analyst. This week, watching on Red Zone, to me anyway, I thought Darryl Johnston outclassed him throughout. Darryl Johnston's been doing it for 25 years, so not a fair comparison. But again, you know, people want to have the best viewing experience, right? And you're going to notice, if you are at least attuned to how broadcasters sound, if you're like me, you know, covering sports media, you're going to notice. You know, you're going to notice that he's not at the level of the others. Maybe that evens out by the end of the season. Maybe it's not a noticeable, oh, okay, this guy's not at the same level. And if you're Fox, you just keep developing him. It's going to be harder because he doesn't have the access. That, to me, I think we're underplaying as a factor. You know, and also, even though he's motivated to be good, it's not like Tom Brady had some kind of passion to want to be a broadcaster. Greg Olsen did. He wanted to be a broadcaster. He was doing it when he was a player, right? People have to actually want to do the thing that you're doing, right? You know, that is, you have to be self-motivated. You have to want to be excellent. Brady wants to be the best at anything he does, I'm sure. But I would be surprised if he had the kind of interest in broadcasting that a lot of analysts do before they enter broadcasting.
There's a lot of armchair psychology that goes along with analyzing Brady's, you know, debut here and kind of just his motivations of whether or not he truly wants to be in the broadcast booth, or it's more something he stumbled into and then saw the, you know, huge paycheck and decided, you know, that does sound pretty good, flying around in a private jet for 20 weeks a year and making over $1 million a game to do it. You know, that doesn't sound too bad, but I do think it actually plays a role what his motivations are. And I think, especially after this week, because, you know, he's well aware of what people are saying about him, right? And he's going to see that his debut was pretty mediocre, right? That is how it went over in the media. I think it's going to motivate him even more to improve and really buckle down. And I hope, you know, as a football fan, that doesn't, you know, kind of raise the stakes for him. I hope that it doesn't make him even more nervous, because I think what he really needs to do is kind of take a deep breath and just let his own inclinations, his own instincts drive his analysis. Because what I wanted to hear more of was, what does Tom Brady, the quarterback, think of what's going on the field? Not like, what does Tom Brady, the new broadcaster, the new booth analyst, think of what's going on the field? I think he was trying to be too much TV Tom Brady and not enough quarterback Tom Brady while he was in the booth.
Well, he could do that if he was doing what Peyton Manning is doing, or what Bill Belichick is doing. You know, Brady and Belichick, they're so linked. And Belichick took a totally different approach. He said, I'm not doing traditional TV. I'm going to stand here with a mic and say, you know, Kurt, what's his name? Kevin. Yes, Kevin, this is what they need to do today, et cetera, right? That's an old school role, right? It is an old school position. The new school is, I'm going to do my own show. I'm going to do an alternate telecast. I'm going to have guests. I'm going to do it in a loose fashion, conversational. And you'll notice that all the really big stars have done what Peyton is doing. Peyton, of course, is doing what Kobe was doing. You know, Kobe is who started this with detail, with his production company. And, you know, great, truly great players, all-time great players. They've never really gravitated to TV. I know there's some examples from maybe baseball in the 60s and 70s, but in a more modern context, Michael Jordan never did TV. He never did TV. Kobe Bryant never did traditional TV. Wayne Gretzky, he's in the studio like once every 6 months for TNT. And the reality of the matter is that, you know, the kind of flying to a different game every week, standing in the booth, giving your insights, you know, in this kind of packaged way where you're waiting for the play-by-play to kind of bring you in, that's not appealing to a lot of guys.
You got to think of it this way, in my opinion, John. Unless you're a person like us who covers sports media and we talk about the Manning cast like it is comparable to an actual game broadcast, in reality, Tom Brady's audience is 20 times bigger than what the Manning cast is drawing over on ESPN2. So this is a way, way bigger job than whatever Peyton Manning's doing. And I think if you're Tom Brady, that's probably part of the allure here. He has the potential to go from greatest quarterback of all time to one of the top football analysts of all time if he plays his cards right. And if he's truly motivated to do it, like he's getting served this opportunity on a golden platter. He has arguably the best talent developers when it comes to broadcasters in all of NFL broadcasting with the Fox crew over there. I mean, they are very well known for developing talents like Tom Brady. So he's in very good hands. If he actually hones his craft, I mean, this could propel him into like another stratosphere that we don't even know exists because he's already in the top stratosphere. What Peyton Manning is doing, I think, is much different than what Tom Brady is trying to accomplish here.
Yeah, but Brady, the key is Brady didn't want to do this. Right. I mean, I think Brady could have that as his potential if this is something he really wants to do. He really takes to it. You know, I mean, maybe not everyone goes into TV wanting to do it the rest of their life. I mean, I don't even think John Madden did. But I mean, let's be completely real here. You have to have that desire. So is he doing this because he really wants to do it, or is he doing it because he's getting paid $38 million a year and he thinks it will be easy? That's the other thing, too. Does he think it'll be easy? Does he think, oh, this isn't going to be too bad? Because, you know, we don't really know yet if he's, I mean, look, I'm not saying he's doing anything subpar, but like, you don't really know what the mindset is. Is he studying this? Like, is this to him at the level of being a quarterback in the NFL? Because there are people who go into doing television and they attack it with the same level of competitive pride and zeal that they did during their playing careers. Right. So maybe that's not a fair thing to expect of Tom Brady. But if he wants to get to the point that you're talking about, greatest of all time in TV, you know, then he's going to have to attack it that way. Otherwise, he'll just be OK. And, you know, you can get away with just being OK. The Super Bowl isn't some kind of sacrosanct event where you have to be one of the greatest broadcasters ever to do it. Right. I mean, I don't know how good or not good Bob Trumpy was. I also know most people don't know Bob Trumpy. You know, I'm familiar with Merlin Olsen because I like Little House on the Prairie. So I'm very familiar with Merlin Olsen, but I'm not familiar with him on the TV. I never heard him do a game with Dick Enberg, right? So like this, it's not like you have to be one of the greatest broadcasters ever to do a Super Bowl. But, you know, certainly you don't want to be mediocre. And I think that's really the question. Is he going to be okay enough to be on TV and that's it? Or is he going to be good? And that's kind of where that self-motivation comes into play.
I think the interesting thing, John, will be looking, you know, in the middle of the season here and seeing how much has Brady improved. Because if there hasn't been a substantial jump in his skill level as an analyst, questions will start being asked. I think the lack of access will become a bigger talking point. I think, you know, obviously the amount of money he's being paid and the fact that Greg Olsen will presumably continue to kill it on the Fox B team with Joe Davis, there's going to start being murmurs of, well, is Brady going to be ready for the spotlight of the Super Bowl? Should they potentially bring in Greg Olsen as a third for a Super Bowl broadcast? Should Brady just exit stage left? And, you know, I've already heard many Joe Biden comparisons with what's going on with Tom Brady. So it's like there's going to be chatter here if there's not improvement in his analysis. So if you're Fox and you're Tom Brady, you're on a timeline here.
I don't know that I agree. I can't see Fox going back to Olsen. You know, you don't really change horses in midstream like that in sports TV. Now, you might add somebody. Now, like you're saying with Olsen, you know, if someone's really, really shaky. So NBC, they hired Isaiah Thomas, and it was going to be Bob Costas and Isaiah Thomas, and Isaiah just wasn't great. Luckily, Doug Collins got fired midseason. They bring in Doug Collins, right? Problem solved. Similarly, ABC, they got Mike Breen and Mark Jackson. Not really working out that well. Luckily, Jeff Van Gundy gets fired during the playoffs. They bring him in, and 17 years later, right? So maybe, but you know, usually that's someone who gets fired during the season and then gets hired. So it's not quite the same as going down to your B team and elevating someone. That's more of a break glass in case of emergency thing. In this scenario, it's more like, or in the scenario that I've given with the NBA, it's more like, hey, how lucky. This great coach is now available, and we'll just put him here on our A team, not because there was any need to, but because he's so good. I mean, it's a bit of a different thing. I mean, I do think, though, that Greg should not have lost his position, but if Fox were to elevate him now, that would be embarrassing for everybody, including Greg.
Yeah. No, you're certainly right. It'll have to rise to a level where it's just completely untenable for Fox to continue as is. So you're right. I think that's very far-fetched and unlikely. But, you know, we'll see. The potential is there, albeit it is a long shot. Any last thoughts on Tom Brady before we move on to some viewership numbers?
Well, if there was any question as to whether Brady would by himself move the needle, those were answered in the game Sunday because the game was terrible. So, obviously, if the viewership was still really strong, you could say, wow, the Brady effect. Well, the viewership wasn't really strong. Of course, all relative when we're talking about the National Football League. The viewership was not really, really strong. It was okay. I think, 24 million viewers for a blowout. But given the Cowboys' presence, given the fact that it's Brady, obviously, I think a lot more could have been expected even with a blowout. So, people have never tuned into sports because of the announcers. They just never have. Now, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong because I never would have thought people would tune into sports because some pop star within the stands, right? And we've seen that obviously is something that is a factor. But I just, I don't know. I mean, to me, I think the expectation that Brady is going to bring in a big audience every week, I don't think that's going to be true.
Yeah, that definitely did not play out in the viewership this week. So like you said, the Cowboys-Browns game, 23.8 million viewers on Fox. That was a 46% increase over last year, but that comes with the large caveat that this year was not a doubleheader. There was no competing game on CBS in week one this year. That was the first time since 2020 that the NFL did not schedule competing doubleheaders in week one, and it actually did not work out very well for the league. I believe I saw last season the combined viewership between Fox and CBS was around 37 or 38 million for that week one Sunday afternoon slot. That is, 13, 14 million fewer viewers this year for just the single game on Fox.
Well, the NFL will always do better combined if there's a doubleheader, always. Now, the issue is Fox and CBS, they both are, it's a negative for both of them. In the week one circumstance, it was actually good for CBS because they would never get a week one doubleheader. So it actually did work out for them. But in general, you're talking about Fox and CBS are cannibalizing each other, the double doubleheader. Interestingly enough, that double doubleheader has been preserved, just pushed to later in the season. That'll be, I believe, in week 15 in December. So if you're Fox, you know, you wanted to get the unopposed doubleheader again. They did get that. The viewership was up, the most watched in 4 years, but that's only because they were doing the double doubleheader the previous three. I mean, it's not bad or anything, but, you know, it is what it is. Hey, don't be shocked if the NFL's ratings are down this year. Don't be shocked. In fact, I think it's
almost a guarantee, right? Because that Monday Night Football is going to be on ABC every year.
But I don't even mean that.
Every week. Yeah.
I don't even mean that. I mean, because obviously the overall average. But don't be surprised if on a weekly basis you're seeing Fox and CBS come up short of last year's levels.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply. People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's go over some of the other numbers here. One I really wanted to highlight here, John, we'll go back to Friday night. Packers-Eagles on Peacock nearly doubled the number of Peacock's first regular season exclusive last year, which was late in the season. It was Bills-Chargers. That game drew $7.3 million for Peacock. Friday's international series game in Brazil between the Packers and Eagles, $14.2 million. So like I said, nearly doubled for Peacock. A very strong number. This is more than a lot of Amazon Thursday night games.
Yeah, no, it did quite well. I think if you're the NFL, well, okay. It did quite well for a streaming exclusive. We've not had a streaming exclusive in week one before, right? So we don't know what Amazon might typically get if they had that Friday night slot, or if the NFL decided to start the season on Wednesdays and then Amazon had Thursday night football. Like, we don't know what that would typically have gotten. It's hard to put it into any context. I think the number was fine. I think it would have been a lot bigger on NBC, obviously, but, you know, just like with the double doubleheader, sometimes the NFL will do things for its business that will adversely impact its ability to draw the largest audience. Because the goal is not to draw the largest audience. The goal is to make the most money. That's the goal. And so, you know, for the NFL, putting the game on Peacock obviously probably cost it quite a few viewers. It's Packers and Eagles. I mean, even putting it in Brazil probably wasn't great. You know, I mean, Packers, Eagles in Philadelphia in week 14, that's probably getting 30 million viewers in that 425 slot, right? So, but the NFL obviously benefited in whatever way that it benefited. And I mean, Jordan Love certainly didn't benefit, but it is what it is.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of people mention that Peacock was likely helped at least a little bit by the kind of the the momentum from the Olympics, people still having their Peacock subscriptions from this summer. So they were able to tune in, probably a little easier to get people to stick around for 1 month than, you know, back in December when God knows what was going on Peacock.
Well, you had the wild card playoff game coming up.
Sure, that's true. And if you were wise, like listeners to the Sports Media Watch podcast, or you did what I did, you bought it on like the one of like the 5 days where if you subscribed, you could get access to both games within the same month. But in any case, let's move on to the Thursday night game. Let's go back one day. That was the opener, Ravens-Chiefs rematch of the AFC Championship game from last season. That drew a big number for the NFL and NBC. 28.9 million viewers. That includes the Nielsen and Adobe Analytics numbers for NBC. According to you, John, on the website, as the largest combined audience on record for the kickoff game, and that dates back to 2002. So a very strong start for the NFL season.
Well, you know, I've kind of given up on trying to just keep it apples to apples, right? I've given up because what can you do, right? Okay, NBC's going to combine Nielsen and Adobe Analytics. Once I saw that ESPN's even doing that for college football, well, okay, the battle's lost there. It's going to be Nielsen plus Adobe Analytics. So you have to add that in. The out-of-home is coming, or the out-of-home is here. The out-of-home is here. The big data is coming that it seems like some of the networks are opposing. At some point, you just have to say, whatever. Everything got 400 million viewers, and it's the most watched of all time. Now, look, the household rating was down. Does the household rating capture all the viewership? Of course not. But is the household rating something that is a stable measure over the course of decades? Yes. And the household rating was down from last year. The household rating was, much lower than it was in the record-setting years of 2011 or 2012, when the kickoff game got a 16 rating. I still think that means something because the measurement of viewership was not the same in 2011 as it is now. The household rating is. I think that game had fewer viewers than, you know, Vikings Saints in 2011, right? I mean, I do. Or Packers Saints. I mean, all those games from the early 2010s when the viewership is really, really, really strong, I suspect did better. But they weren't measured the same way, and so we don't know. And so this was the record-setting game. Oh, my goodness, what a record. Whatever. I mean, it's not that important. It's just television ratings. But certainly, if you do care at all about, like, just, you know, I mean, everything is always going to be positive. It's always going to be, like, good PR. And I'm not trying to rain on anybody's parade, but there's obvious reasons why it, you know, the obvious caveats. But this is not a lot you can do because, one, most people don't care about it like I do, you know, and I don't blame them for not caring about it because it's television ratings. Who cares? You know, I mean, it's really only because of me that people even paid attention to the viewership before, because when I was starting to write about sports media, all anyone talked about was the household rating, the number of homes. They talk about the total 6 minute stat and nobody cared about the average people 2+ audience. I was the one who started consistently writing about that. And ultimately, you know, I mean, it's just ratings. It's just ratings. So I got to remind myself that because it is a little annoying to see some of the superlatives that I know aren't really true.
How would you rate the opening weekend of the NFL overall from a viewership perspective?
I think it was all right. Nothing special, you know. I mean, I think it was a great opener. I think the opener did do well. I'm not saying it didn't do well. I just, you know, the record, I think, is misleading. I think, you know, for Rams Lions to be on par with Cowboys Giants a year ago was pretty impressive. You know, obviously the Fox Cowboys Browns game was a disappointment, but it wasn't a good game. You know, CBS did pretty well with its single header as well. I think was most watched since 98. But again, all the caveats, yada, yada, yada. But at least the CBS numbers are just Nielsen, right? But look, I mean, the other thing too about ratings, the ratings have become such a problem for everybody in TV that you can't do badly anymore. And you can't do badly. Everything justifies being on TV now because the numbers are as they are. I mean, so to me, you know, the NFL, it's so strange. It was 7 years ago, all the talk. Oh, my God, the NFL is never going to be the same again. The viewership's going to plummet. I mean, I know that that can happen again because of who we've got in the presidential race. I'm sure, you know, especially with what happened to Tyreek Hill, if certain conversations start to be held again, you could see, oh, well, look, the ratings are down. See, because, oh. But, you know, I mean, obviously the ratings are there's nothing wrong with them at all. They're all great. They're just not as great as the press releases might indicate.
All right, let's move on to a topic we discussed at the top of last week's episode, and that is the dispute between Disney and DirecTV. I think both of us probably would have agreed last week, John, that this would have been resolved by the time of this recording on Tuesday morning, but the two sides are still at an impasse. DirecTV subscribers did not get access to Monday Night Football last night. John, do you see any end in sight for this dispute? Are they going to go another week without Monday Night Football?
I do think that first week wasn't, you know, the most important, even though it's the first week because of the ABC simulcast. I'm going to assume here that the majority of DirecTV subscribers are subscribed to the satellite service. I mean, that just makes sense. So most ABC affiliates in the satellite service are available. Now, in New York and San Francisco, they weren't because those are Disney-owned. But most of the country was able to watch it on ABC, most of the country that has DirecTV. For the exceptions, well, the game was also on ESPN+. Not the most expensive option in the world. Sign up for ESPN+, get a month of college football games. It's $11 if you're really that passionate. Next week, there's no ABC simulcast. There's no ESPN+ option. You will have to watch the game on a cable or satellite or streaming provider. And that's when the DirecTV conflict will be most acute for its subscribers. So next week is the one to watch out for. I think it will be very interesting to see how whether there's some pressure to get a deal done by then.
You know, DirecTV actually did something interesting last week, John. They started offering a deal for their subscribers to go over to Fubo and start a 7-day trial, and they would subsidize some of their first month. This is kind of a page they took out of the Charter playbook from last year, where Charter was encouraging their video subscribers to go and try out these vMVPDs rather than stay subscribed to Charter. But for DirecTV, it seems like it wouldn't make much sense. I mean, they're pretty much just telling their subscribers to go and join a competitor. And then how is DirecTV plan on getting these people back? That's my question. It's a very interesting move from them, and I don't think it actually will help them long term trying to get their subscribers to leave for a service like Fubo.
Well, you know, I mean, look, it's trying to keep goodwill, trying to, you know, lessen the level of antagonism here. And of course, those deals will expire and people will just be paying then for the streamer. Now, that might be obviously less expensive for them, but there's a lot of irritations that come with, say, a Fubo, where you're paying $90 and you don't even get the Turner networks, for example, or a Sling, where you don't get the local over-the-air channels. Like, it's a risk. But ultimately, you know, hey, I mean, it's a way to create some goodwill. And also, if you are a satellite, you know, subscriber in 2024, you probably are not necessarily eager to stream. You know, that to me is something that you might not know how to do. You might not want to learn. There is a learning curve. You might not have good internet. Like, there's a lot of reasons why it's not as big a risk as it sounds.
Yeah, you definitely bring up some good points. A lot of DirecTV subscribers, certainly in places that don't have the strongest broadband connections.
That's the reason they have satellite, as opposed
exactly.
to cable.
Exactly, yeah. That is a big factor there. All right, John, I wanted to quickly touch on a little college football news before we close out the show. You wrote a piece about Colorado continuing its strong audiences despite getting blown out by Nebraska on Saturday. That game averaged 6.3 million viewers for NBC. The Coach Prime effect still has some pull. I guess the question is, how much longer will it?
Deion Sanders remains a big draw. Deion Sanders remains someone who people want to see on the field, on the sideline, winning and maybe especially losing. Colorado can't get too bad, but I do think that their viewership is going to remain elevated. Colorado viewership is going to remain elevated. I can't see them going back to where they were 2 years ago. It's already below where it was last year, to be clear. But 6 million viewers, I mean, that's pretty good. So Colorado clearly still has a lot of pull. People like to see them lose. People do like to see Deion win, too. But it's Colorado football. That was not a relevant thing. You know, you talk about what Caitlin Clark has done for the WNBA. It's not that dissimilar where Colorado football was. Colorado football was in that same WNBA range of popularity before Deion got there. And so to get to where they are now is pretty impressive, even if it's not as much as it was.
Yeah, I think Caitlin Clark is actually worth talking about real quick here too, John. She had a very impressive showing. Well, she, the Indiana Fever against the Lynx, the Minnesota Lynx, had a very strong showing directly against an NFL game Friday night. 1.26 million viewers on ION. Obviously, there's the caveat that this is free over-the-air television versus a streaming service, but over a million viewers on for anything on ION to me is impressive. To do it against a primetime NFL game, even more so.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, six times this season, ION has topped the million viewer mark. They're not doing that for the NWSL. They weren't doing that for the WNBA last season. And they're not doing it for any WNBA games this season, except for the ones involving Caitlin Clark. 23 games or 23 telecasts, including the draft, with over a million viewers this year. Just incredible. Even I would never have thought that that was possible going into this season, even coming off of the incredible numbers in the women's tournament. We have not seen an individual move the needle like this since Tiger Woods at his height. And Caitlin, her drawing power is unbelievable. The WNBA probably regrets that the first round is best of three. I don't know that Indiana's going to get out of that, and they might have two playoff games. Because remember, in the WNBA, the low seed opens the first two games on the road. If they get one of them, they get the deciding game three at home. That is a relatively recent format that started maybe about 2 years ago. So Caitlin might not even get a home playoff game in this scenario. It's going to be very interesting. And, you know, who knows what that playoff viewership is going to be like. I mean, we now know the WNBA will get a million viewers opposite the NFL, even on ION, if Caitlin Clark is in the game.
Yeah. All right, John, I think that's a good place to wrap up. Why don't we close out the show?
All right, NFL season underway, and it is already one of the big topics of conversation. We did not talk about Tyreek Hill. You know, I'm a black man. Look, the reality of the matter is I think every black person understands that things can go very badly, very quickly with the wrong people pulling you over. It's, what can I say? I do think it is worth wondering how long sports can stay out of the culture wars, because this is now twice this year that an athlete is just trying to get to the game and they have been hassled by the police. Now, Scottie Scheffler didn't get roughed up the same way Tyreek Hill did, not surprisingly.
Yeah.
But, you know, certainly, I mean, we have now seen two cases of police acting way over the top in sports this year. This is what motivated Kaepernick's protest. Kaepernick wasn't protesting Trump. I think that's what people kind of think in their mind, because it was 2016. Kaepernick was protesting Alton Sterling and Philando Castile. He wasn't protesting Trump. And this is the kind of topic that, if you know, it could happen even just off of Tyreek Hill. But if it keeps happening, if it happens to an NBA player, which it did, of course, with Sterling Brown a few years ago, and of course, Tabo Sefolosha a few years ago, if it keeps happening, and if you don't want sports to be political, whatever you consider political to be, then you'd better hope this kind of thing doesn't keep happening, because it's only a matter of time before people aren't going to be able to be quiet about it. And this one with Tyreek was just ridiculous. Not a surprise that it's the Louisville and Miami police departments in these cases. Soon enough, Anthony Edwards better be careful, because that Minneapolis police department is not too great either. Who plays in Denver? Well, Jokic, I guess. Jokic is probably safe, but you better be careful. Denver is a bad one, too. There's quite a few bad ones all over the country where we have professional athletes and teams and events. So let's all hope this doesn't go any further, because this can get back to being 2020 very quickly as well. Not the best note to end on, but whatever. Thanks for listening. I greatly appreciate all of you who listen to this podcast. I don't always say that, but you know, all of you out there who enjoy what we've been doing, I appreciate it. And we'll be back with more down the line.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging, so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.